We've been talking about conversations about the Holy Spirit. This week I want to talk about Spirit as gift giver. I want to kind of, it's going to take me a little bit here to walk through to try and get to. So we're not really going to get to the gifts per se today, but I want to build us towards that. In your bulletin, I took me a long time here, but I took some time and broke down, put together the gifts. And just lots and lots of ideas. Every idea I could think of, I was writing down. Here at Rockcliffe, we don't have a lot of these things happening, right? If you're new to Rockcliffe, we've been through some transition over the past 6-7 years, and we are now getting back on our feet. We're now moving forward, and we are super excited. We might not have everything that's offered in many other buildings and churches around, but we are really working towards what does God want done here? What is he looking for, amen? We don't want to copy someone else. We don't want to do something just because someone else is doing it. We want to know what he's doing right here. Why? Because you're here and I'm here. He's brought us all together for a uniqueness. There's giftings in every one of us. And so just in case you're having a hard time thinking and coming up with ideas or pausing, I put this together to help you to begin to reflect. So we're not going to go through it this week, but we will talk about it next week as we go through. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts or wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish or want to. We broke down, and I don't want to go back into that, but we broke down as Spirit as guide. We talked about the FOS, the flesh operating system, and the SOS, the Spirit operating system. God has created us new. The old is gone, and the new has. And so that old operating system that's built of the flesh, thinking of ourselves and what we want and desire and those things, that's the old system. It wasn't even the beginning system. That's not the true picture of human. That's the broken picture of human. And he's called us and he's moved us back to the very beginning definition of human is for us as created in the image of God to operate in the Spirit. You are now first spirit, second flesh. You are now first Christian, second Canadian, African, whatever one you want to place in there. You are first a believer of Christ. Second, you're a Smith. Second, you're Sylvester. Second, you're whatever. Everything takes second place now to Christ inside of you. Spirit operating system. So part one, on May 20th, we talked about walking with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Then on June 3rd was part two, Holy Spirit is. And we talked about the fact that Holy Spirit, he's a person. It's not Casper the ghost. He's not just a side thing. He's it. God the Father is sitting on the throne, and Jesus is in heaven with God the Father. And Holy Spirit, he says, I will send with you. Holy Spirit's it right now. He's the one that is walking, talking, drawing us, helping us, guiding us, leading us in this operational system called the Spirit operating system. And as we allow Holy Spirit and we walk with Holy Spirit and we move with him, then all of a sudden we begin to realize, wait a second. This life with Christ is such an adventure. It is so amazing. Every day is brand new. Every day I wake up, there's something different he's speaking, something different he's showing me, something different he's helping me see as I open my heart towards him. Then on June 10th, we talked about Spirit as our guide. And today I want to talk about the Spirit as gift giver. Before I jump too far in, I want to talk about what the spiritual gifts are not. What they're not. Number one, They're not our natural talents. They're not our natural talents. So let me break down and give a bit of definition here. A spiritual gift is a God-given capability, a skill, proficiency to Christians upon receiving the Holy Spirit into their lives at salvation, for the purpose of carrying out their function in the body of Christ, which is the church. Every one of us has a spiritual gift. That's what the Word of God says. Every one of us has a function within the countless gifts that the Scripture talks about that we are to walk in. Some people have said it's your sweet spot. Because now that part is totally operating out of this. Not out of your own comfort, not only your own ability, not only your own strengths, but it's operating out of a part where you are totally dependent on Him. And you walk in that gift. And when we walk in those gifts and we allow Him to move us into the place that we're wired, some people, their bent is evangelism. So they'll do 100 different things, but every single time you're around them, they're always bending it back this way. Why? Because that's the way God naturally wired them to support and build and help the body. If everyone here had that bent, we would miss out on that strong teacher that could help ground people and mature and disciple people. You see, every gift is so important. If all we had was those that were with knowledge and wisdom and doing that, and no gift of helps, we'd all sit back saying, who's putting out the tables today? It's not me. I don't do that. You see, when it comes to the gifts, we have to be careful that we don't isolate it down and say, well, that's not me. This is not me. God has all called us to serve. God has all called us to eagerly desire the gifts. But there is a natural bent in all of us. Do you know what your natural bent is? Well, we want to walk through some of these things. And that this Tuesday, pause for a moment, infomercial. This Tuesday, I'll be running with Matthew Ram. Matthew Ram plays the piano at times. And that Matthew and I are going to join together to run a Bible study for men. God just really put it on my heart that I need to take this step forward. It's a battle plan for purity. Now, don't get me wrong. Some people here just won't come because it's that you need to come. It's not only for you, but it's for your grandkids that you're going to have conversations with. It's going to be for your sons that you're going to have conversations with. It's your coworker and that all of a sudden begins to share with you. So it's not just, you know, oh, if you come, it's because you struggle. But in that part is, this is common to man. And God has a plan on how to be free. And there's a whole part of this that we need to understand that's deeper than you and I. It's not you that frees yourself. It's the Son. In whom the Son sets free is? You see, sometimes, if I pause now, D-Stack, so that's coming on Tuesday. Men, you need to be there. Come and join me as we journey together. As I back up a little bit here, and that God challenges us over and over and over again, that He has put a gift in everyone. There's a bent inside of us that we all bend one way or the other. A talent is an inherited or self-developed ability to do something well. A gift is given at the rebirth, and a talent is something that you're born with or you just kind of worked naturally. You saw others, you picked up things on the way as you grew. I have a lot of talents and abilities and that I've learned over the years. So do many of you in this room. But my talents, now that I've realized over this past 8-9 years, God has really shaped my inner being and that I don't want to operate from the flesh side and what feels good or what I naturally can do. I'm trying to listen to Him more. I'm trying to walk with Him more. I'm trying to move in that way. Now when I use my talents and the things I've learned and the abilities that I can do, it's all for one purpose. It's so that I can create a moment so that I can speak into someone's life. Because I know God's called me to be a pastor. And he's put inside of me this unique ability to see in people and draw out giftings and draw out that treasure that God has placed there. So I use all of those moments of my talents and abilities, whether I roll up the sleeves and go and help someone or say, hey, why don't you come and help me? I'm looking for moments to draw treasure out of people. I'm looking for moments to spend time with people so that golf, I don't know, maybe there's great golfers here. Dave Cutting's not here. They're on vacation right now, but I'm not a great golfer. But I'll go golfing with someone, especially if I feel God prompt my heart, because that's like almost 4 hours. You walk around a field that they can't run away from me. That's like 4 hours I get to talk to them. And it's inevitable, usually around hole 9, 10, that the real stuff starts coming out. And we get to talk. It's not really about how God and the person's doing or what's going on or maybe something else. And then the last few holes are usually just kind of whatever. And I'm just like, I don't even care if I hit. I'm just moving. And that, why? Because everything you say and everything you do, it has meaning. It has purpose. And that's why he's wanting us to walk in the Spirit. Examples of talents and gifts, spiritual gifts would be like leadership, prophecy, healing, apostle, teacher, service, giving, mercy, hospitality. You'll see a list of them in the pamphlet of the gifts that I gave out. Talents might be athleticism, music, art, eye for photography, a green thumb, public speaker, cooking, fishing, optimism, money management, acting, storytelling, woodworking, sewing, and the list could go on and on and on and on and on. Use your talents with the bent of how God wired you spiritually to bring glory to God. Because the natural ability to learn and do is only given from him. So he reminds us, remember where you got everything. And remember who you're doing everything for. You see, this is a whole different way of thinking, moving, breathing in this life the moment you said yes to Jesus. This is not something radically new. This is just what he's called every believer to step into the moment we get saved. So that we don't run the risk of moving into a religious spirit where we just become familiar and we just walk through the patterns of what it looks like to be a believer. Having the form of godliness, but denying the power therein. That power therein is Holy Spirit. Scriptures for talents and gifts. Some of the scriptures for spiritual gifts are 1 Peter 4:10-11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be long glory and dominion, forever and ever. He deserves it all. 1 Corinthians 12:4-7, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit that distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Walking in the gifts is not so that we can kind of feel like we're stepping up a little closer to God. The gifts, when we move in the gifts, it should be for the common good. People around you should benefit from the fact that you're moving in the gift. If they're not benefiting from the fact that you're moving in the gift, maybe something's a little bit off and needs to be adjusted. I don't know, you've been around church maybe just as much as I have, and I've been around circles enough that I've seen a lot of crazy and weird things go on. And if I'm really honest, most of it comes from such a desire in someone's heart that they want to see something happen so bad that they try to take over Holy Spirit's job. Instead of just being the voice and the hands and the feet, they tried to be him. And whenever we try to be him, we mess up a lot. And so in that part is again, I want to try to break it down. I want to try to walk through that we can become a really strong, healthy, Spirit-led church, making a difference in our community, because I believe the hope for our community is as the churches come alive. When the churches is God's hope for this community, and when we come alive as churches once again, as we open ourselves up and allow the breath-giving God who resides inside of us to shine bright, I believe our community is going to turn around. I believe Canada is going to turn around. I do believe that with everything inside of me. He's longing for, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, he's going to hear. He's going to move. He's going to heal the land. Acts 1:8, Exodus 31:1-3, Proverbs 25:14, all about spiritual gifts. Talents you can find in Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Matthew chapter 5 talks about being a light. Matthew 25, 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So why is it so important to know the difference between talents and gifts? Natural ability and what we can do on our own, strength, our own merit, our own ability, versus a spiritual gift that is so hinged that if God doesn't show up, I don't look so good. I don't look so good. No, it doesn't happen. It doesn't work. And so in that part is becoming dependent on him is so important. I think probably the most important reasons Christian needs to know the difference is for the spiritual health and well-being of the church. You see, if we don't know the difference, we'll rely on what we can do and we'll get what we can do. But how many know one plus God changes everything? But the only way is to move out of the flesh operating system and move into the spirit operating system and say, God, what do you want? What do you want to say now? What do you want to do? Everything inside of me goes over something. But what are you doing? Oh, you're actually doing something here? Oh, okay. And we just bring it back down again. Trust is leading. So my sheep know my voice. There's a bearing of witness when we open our heart. As Christians, we tend to go one of two directions when it comes to ministry involvement and service in the church. One, we just don't know how or where we should minister and serve, so we just sit back. And we're kind of waiting, and we're waiting, and just waiting. Yet God is saying, I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. Draw close to me, and I'll draw close to you. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you will find. Then there's, on that same part, there's some, and that they're not like, I don't know where to serve, but some, they've just moved into a place that of an entitlement. An entitlement that almost feeling like they're owed, or I need to be fed, I need. Listen to me, whenever you're using the word I in your sentence too much, if you see a pattern of I's in there, it should be a red flag that you either are already caught in something Satan is trying to throw you off on, or you're about to get caught. Satan's seven I am statements, he got caught into himself. But the Bible tells us we're not to do that. No longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. So when we're saying a lot of I's, then we need to understand it's just the enemy trying to get us off track. Or the second is we throw ourselves into the work of the church, doing whatever needs to be done, whether we're spiritually gifted or not. So we so desperately want to see God move, and we find ourselves burned out, unfulfilled, overwhelmed. Yet the Bible says, my burden is light, my yoke is easy. Find the gift that God has. The Bible says we lack nothing here right now. Oh, you might look to your right and left and say there's an empty chair, so we're lacking stuff. We don't lack any gift, anything that's needed right now. We just need to walk in them. We just need to come together and move as one, and God will show us all that he has in store. We may have a talent in an area, but that doesn't mean that that particular talent is how God wants to manifest his purpose in your life or to help you maintain or to grow the church. We should always use our talents for his glory, but again, they are not necessarily the ministry God is calling you to. There's some giftings and talents that I have that, you know, that I can move in, but God's not calling me to that. And I do those things helping in that, but I have to remind myself of the core part inside of me. I've got to stay focused on what he has for my life. All you have to do is walk down the cereal aisle, and you'll get what I'm saying. When I was a kid, I remember maybe 8-10 options. Now, there's whole rows designated to cereal. That's part of our problem, is not that our generation today doesn't care, and that they're just so lambasted with opportunities and things around them, it's hard for them to decipher, because in the flesh operating system, it gets overwhelmed and it doesn't know what to do, and it's trying to fulfill a void. And as it pulls it in, oh, that didn't work, we throw it out. Well, we just didn't like that kind, we'll try this kind. Oh, we didn't like, oh, we'll try this. There's so many options. Whereas when we come to the Spirit operating system and we allow God to fulfill our hearts, then everything starts working into the proper balance. You see, when you move into this part, now you can say no to some things because you said yes to something better. You can say no to something because you said yes and that to him. You see, it's all based out of that. Instead of out of our willpower, I'm going to change. I'm going to do. I'm going to this. I'm going to that. Well, I don't know about you. Willpower is not that strong. Some are stubborn, and some can try and hold it a little longer, but inevitably, it will crumble. Look at the January New Year's resolutions. I mean, if we're all honest, we've made, what, one or two that have failed? That just never made it out to be what we wanted it to be. That willpower is not as strong as you think it is, but the Spirit's power, oh, I can do exceedingly abundantly above all you could dream or ask according to your riches and glory. Holy Spirit could do anything when we allow him the freedom to move in our life. Not taking the time to learn and discern between the two talents and gifts will result in failing to live up to your God-given potential. You just live below it. Failing to live up to your responsibility as a Christian, what he's called you to. Failing to enjoy the deep and intimate connection God wants you to have with the Holy Spirit. So, the gifts are not given to the pastor or to a few. Number two, Zechariah 4:6 is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord of hosts. It's not a Superman that's so strong that can push that boulder, can make the church move, can make something happen. Oh, to sheer willpower. They're just going to keep it going and keep moving. The problem is we get behind it so much that we can't see anything except for that narrowed view. And sometimes we get into tunnel vision, and we get so focused in on one piece of the pie, we forget what God is up to. And sometimes God's already moved past that and he's over here now. Sometimes God's saying, yeah, okay, and that I want to do this. Yeah, but I'm not finished this. It's okay. I'm done with what I'm doing there right now. Now I want to move here. You see, that's why we have to be in a relationship with God so we can hear him every step of the way. So that we can be open to what he has. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, everyone has at least one spiritual gift. Everyone has. And that not just one, not just, you know, just a person here or there, but everyone has. So number one, spiritual gifts are not natural talents. Number two, they're not given to the elite or to a pastor or to a few, but everyone has a gift. Number three, spiritual gifts are not a sign of spiritual maturity. They're not. Every one of you have a gift. Every Christian has a gift, but that doesn't mean every Christian is spiritually mature. Maturity in the spirit isn't by physical years in a church. Maturity in the spirit is by how much we're submitting to him. How much we're getting into our word. How much of him is growing in our life. You see, the gifts for a long time was something we so aspired to, and if I could just have, and we bring people into the podium that moves in this gift or that gift, and really all that was ever meant to do was to stir the gifts in every one of us, because every one of us have a gift. Every one of us can pray. Every one of us can allow Holy Spirit to move. And so if I say it this way, we are very purposeful in what we're doing here at Rockcliffe. That everything that we're doing is a pattern or something that you could do at home. You can do at work. You can do on your own. Not just together, but we're setting patterns up of how to walk and live this life on purpose. Spiritual gifts are not the fruit of the Spirit. And I shouldn't have put S on there. Forgive me for that correction there. It's fruit of the Spirit, not fruits. The Bible doesn't say fruits as multiple. It's fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. It's all there. Everyone has it there. If you can't not say, I don't have the fruit. If you don't have the fruit, you don't have Holy Spirit. If you don't have Holy Spirit, you don't have Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, you're not saved. It's a pretty easy pattern. So you have all the fruit. It's just whether you're going to allow the fruit to develop and grow. You have the gift the moment you got saved. If you say, well, I don't have a gift, then you don't have Holy Spirit. If you don't have Holy Spirit, you don't have Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, you're not saved. So we can't say we don't have a gift or we don't have the fruit in our life, because every Christian has that. The moment you ask Jesus in your life, you get Holy Spirit, who is the giver of everything. Amen? So again, everything you need to accomplish everything he has prepared in advance for you is inside of you. The key is not that you got a bum rap and didn't get. The key is, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, then I'm going to hear, and I'm going to be, and not only hear, but I'm going to heal the land. And that's the part where God calls us. Tony, do you mind sitting up front here for a minute? And that calls us to. Spiritual gifts are not something to be afraid of. Spiritual gifts are not something to be afraid of. So many people are so afraid of it because, oh my goodness, what if I mess up? You heard Tony allude to that earlier, and that where he says, listen, don't worry about it. If your heart is right, God will make it work. But the problem with a gift is if we don't take a step, it just won't happen. If we don't open our mouth, if we don't stretch our hand, if we don't make a move, nothing's going to happen. And that's the problem within the church for too long over the centuries, is things just didn't happen. Because we were so afraid to get it wrong. We were so afraid that it's too complicated. It is incredibly complicated, and we will always get it wrong if we walk in the flesh operating system. Because the flesh and the spirit war. There's no common thing there. But if we allow Holy Spirit to lead us, as we are born again, no longer the same way, now we're born of the Spirit, and we walk with the Spirit, you were created to walk supernaturally. You were created to move in the gifts. You were created to be a life breather of the Spirit of God into others. You were created for this. You were created to succeed. Every one of us. We all have different talents and abilities. Some feel like, oh my goodness, they're so talented. They've worked so hard, or they've got so many things. And some have. Some naturally just flow into things. And then others, we just need to remember, remind ourselves that if we pause and we allow Holy Spirit to lead us, and we allow Him to develop and bend our life into whatever stream, whatever gifting that He's called us to, He will pull everything around for good. He will make all the difference. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline, or a sound mind." The Spirit brings us life and freedom. Where the Spirit is, there is freedom, not bondage or slavery. We're not bound. That's not God. That's not God. In our world that is plagued with death, this is a profound truth that points to real hope. That I'm no longer a slave to fear, but I am a child of God. That simple statement, not just verbally said, but coming right from your heart, will transform everything. Who here does not want to be free? No one wants to be caged up. No one wants to be bound and chained. No one wants to be a slave. No one does. Because we weren't wired that way. We were wired to be a son and daughter of God. We were wired to move and walk with Him. Acts chapter 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness to witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So how do we discover your gift? First off, and the most important area, is by studying what the Bible says about gifts. Not self-help books, go right to the Word. That is your anchor. That's your firm foundation. That will help you when the winds start blowing of emotion, when the winds start blowing of fads and trends. It will help you be guided and stay on the narrow path. Number two, ask God to show you your gift. Ask and you shall. It's simple as that. It's not rocket science. God is so for you, and He's so wanting each and every one of us to move with Him and be effective in what He's called us to do. Examine what you enjoy and do well. Examine it. God, is that a talent? Or is that my gifting? Is that my bent? How do you normally bend? There's some here, you bend as a teacher. But yet you're not teaching His word. You're not teaching in that part. And I'm not talking about just school teaching, but there's a part inside of you, the spiritual gift, that everything you do happens to come around in some teaching way, right? You're, hey, let's clean the carpet. And all of a sudden you're cleaning the carpet and you pause for a moment and you're talking about, hey, this is how you could do it a little bit. And if you did this, and you bring out this whole teaching moment, and that's part of your bent. Examine how you walk. Examine how you talk. And maybe you might find it that way. a spiritual gift test, and that sometimes is helpful. We're going to walk through something once I get through the men's Bible study, and we're going to do something together, and we're going to walk through so we can find out not only our gifting, but we can pause and we can find, you know, why am I here? What's my purpose? We're going to try and walk through some stuff, and we're going to spend some time, and that whether I break it into smaller groups to do that, I'm not quite sure how yet, but God will lead us. But I really feel that He wants us to come alive. Oh, the best days are not behind us. The best days are ahead of us. The best days are ahead of us. That doesn't mean the days behind were bad. Not at all. The days behind give us the platform to move to what's ahead. But the best days are ahead of us. God's not dead. He's surely alive, and He's working and breathing and moving, and He says, I will pour out my Spirit all the more in the last days. And fifthly, do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. Or how I just like to put it, let's just be a generation that will just say more yeses to Him than noes. Let me pause for a moment as I jump in a little bit here. How good are you at giving gifts? How good are you at giving gifts? Are you the type of the person that would rather give money? That's who I am. And that give money so that person can figure out what they want to get themselves. And so, you know, my kids, they come to go to a birthday party, to a kid's birthday party. If they go to mom takes them out, and they think meticulously about it, and they buy a gift, and they figure all that out for me. They come to dad, and they say, hey, dad, I need a gift. I'm like, here's some money. Yeah, they'll buy exactly what they want, and that I've just given some gifts that I've been given gifts that just were like, I can't believe someone just gave me, and that, or I've given some that, you know, well, let me say this. There's an appropriate time to leave something in the closet long enough, and then after that time, you can throw it out. It's kind of like leftovers in the fridge. You know, you know you're not going to eat it. In my family, there's only one that will eat leftovers. And so we put it into the fridge every time. But at the end of the day is, if that one person doesn't eat the leftovers, it's gone to the garbage. So like, I could save myself a lot of trouble just by, at the end of every meal, if we didn't eat it, just throw it out. I mean, like, it would save a lot. It doesn't have to take up fridge space. But there's an acceptable time, and that for how long you leave a gift. Or they don't wear what you bought them. Or they say, do you have the receipt? I'm just not quite sure if the size is going to fit me. Right? You know, have you ever been in that spot? Well, you know what? Let's look at the video behind me for a second. And maybe this might redeem some of you that maybe you're not quite this bad.
Which one's mine? Okay, here's yours, Teo. I don't know. You'll have to open it and see.
I love soup.
But you love soup.
You love soup.
You love soup. Yeah, and Mommy and Nonna make you soup all the time. You love it.
No. What is this?
It's a sponge.
It's not for me.
It's for you. No, that was Marley's bag. Do you like it, Teo?
Yeah.
Do you like your sponge?
Yeah, I want a car.
But you got a sponge because I know how much you like to help Mommy clean.
I want a car,
he says.
But you love soup. Look, now you can make the soup and you can clean the dishes after.
Oh my God, what a savage.
Because I remember we were talking before and you pointed, you said, that's what I want. And mom showed me. Teresa, up on the couch, bud.
What is that?
That's what you wanted.
No, I didn't.
My little
yes, pony. You did. That's what you said you wanted.
What is this?
Open it up.
Not doing it.
Open it up, Fabrizio.
No!
What's the matter?
You got a princess dress.
Hold it up.
What is it?
An old banana.
An old banana? Isn't that exciting? What are you doing?
Pushing it.
Okay.
Wow. A battery and an onion.
Just go ahead and you can pass by there. There's a couple more on there, but you get the point that sometimes some gifts that you get is like, I remember giving my dad one year for Christmas. We all had little jobs, paper routes and stuff. So we had a little bit of money as kids, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and kind of in those years. And I remember one year I came to my dad and I don't know, we all had this bright idea of Frozen stuff for my dad. I don't know why, but my dad, it comes time to open his gifts. We're all pumped and excited. My dad had mentioned sometime somewheres that he liked lamb. So I bought him a leg of lamb. Frozen, wrapped up, put it on his pajama pants, and that there, and I dropped it right down. He jumped. He was so cold. And then my brothers, they bought him some peppermint ice cream because he liked it. The problem was he opened the gift and then we ate it. You know, but like, I mean, sometimes you buy the things like from my mom. My mom mentioned one time that she thought that Chanel number 5. Does anyone know Chanel number 5? She thought Chanel number 5, that kind of smells nice. She got Chanel number 5 for 7 years running. Like, she had so many bottles in her thing that I didn't realize till I was older and when I was looking for a razor and things like that, and I go in and I'm opening a drawer and all of a sudden there's these multiple bottles of Chanel number 5. You know, I mean, the gifts and the idea of the gifts, sometimes because of the people around us and because we've experienced, sometimes we think Holy Spirit's the same way. Listen to me. Holy Spirit knows exactly who you are. When you were formed in your mother's womb, he put you and knit you together. He knows exactly the right gift for you. That when you step in there, those shoes fit. Everything just fits. Everything just seems right. Because you're moving in the direction you know that he created just for you. You see, the art of a meaningful gift giver is complex because it requires a level of thoughtfulness, attentiveness, in order to ensure the gift is meaningful. But what makes a gift meaningful? It must be, number one, it must be considerate. The gift fits them. Their personality, their likes, the way they're wired, it fits. One of the other illustrations behind me that we're going to show is this young boy. He's opening up his gift and he starts to, all of a sudden, he's like, "Yo, I'm a boy. This is a girl's activity book with stickers. This is the worst Christmas ever." And just as he's saying that, the girl's like, "No, I'm not a boy." And she got a boy's toy. You see, it's got to be considerate, right? If all of a sudden you get someone a size 3 when they're a size 5 or 6, what are they going to think, right? What are you saying? I put on a little bit? What are you talking about here? You need to be considerate, or how they're wired. Right? If someone's wired not for practical jokes and you play a practical joke present on them, it's not going to go so well. Right? Some are nodding their head saying, "Yeah, I've done it before and it didn't work so well." Right? But the first idea of being a meaningful gift giver is you are considerate. Second is that it comes at the right time. It was what they needed at the time when they needed it. Or it was actually on the birthday, not a week later because you forgot. Right? So it's that considerate, but it comes on the right time. That's what brings meaningfulness to a gift. It's at the right time, at the right place. And lastly, on what makes a gift meaningful is it cascades to others. There's nothing like a gift that blesses even more than the gift recipient. All of a sudden, you hit the mark, and they overwhelm with joy. Everyone around them gets this joy spilled over to them. You know, you give it just at the right time, and all of a sudden, everything shifts in the atmosphere. Right? When we give gifts, I had a friend in my last church. God was just doing so many incredible things in her life. She was a young adult that just wanted to see God, wanted to move with him, and opened herself up to see more of God move. And so she felt God challenge her on her gift giving. And in the idea of gift giving, she used to be fairly considerate, thoughtful, on time, and that idea. But God started to challenge her about the last one. Have something with a little more meaning. So she started giving gifts out to people at Christmas time. Instead of a gift, they got this card that says, "You just gave a goat to a family in need in another part of the world. You just gave a sewing machine and that to this woman in this community, in this country, so now she can start her own business." And all of a sudden, what it did, for some, they were like, oh, kind of like the little kid, and it's not what I want. But for most, it started to inspire their heart to start to think larger. In reality is, how many of us really need another gift? Right? In North America, if we want something, what do? We save a little, and we just go buy it. I think it's time as North Americans, because we have so much, we need to start to think a little bigger when we're giving something. What is this going to do? How is this going to make an impact? Some people, what they'll do is, instead of giving gifts, they'll give a family vacation. So the whole family will be together, undivided, unplugged, whatever it might be. And that's their idea. For another, they might turn around and they'll buy a family game. Remember those days when we used to buy family games before everything went video? And we used to buy the family game that forced everyone to be around the table to play. Just to build time. It kept giving. It kept giving. We just need to be creative in the generation that we live today to find gifts that will have more meaning and be bigger. Here at Rockcliffe, and that our goal with the Holy Spirit's help is to restore that which is broken, to deliberately and purposely help individuals relate to God and with his body, and to release hope-filled people into their God-given purpose. That's what everything we're about. That's why we say no to some things and we say yes to other things, is we are in the business of trying to help people get restored, help people relate to God and with the body, and help release hope-filled people knowing their gifts and walking with God and making the difference in his kingdom. First Corinthians chapter 12. It talks about these gifts. We're going to get to this next week, and that you'll be able to take this home with you. I encourage you. Some of you already know what your gift is. You've been around long enough and you got it. Some of you, it's going to take a little bit to decipher because you grew up in church. And so even though you have natural talents and abilities, you've been guided and shaped by godly parents or godly people around you that help naturally help guide you and steer you into your gift, that your gift seems so natural, it almost feels like it's a talent, that it sometimes might be harder to decipher. For others, maybe you're so new at this part with God that you haven't quite figured out, what is this bent that God's given me? What is this gift that he's got? So I encourage you, take some time and start reading through. And when you stop and you find, hey, I know my bent. I know what God's bent. Then see if it's in here. Maybe it's not in here, but see if it is. And then look at the 5 to 20 items underneath there and say, well, okay, God, how do I serve? How do I find my place? Because you've given me this gift for the common good, to build the body. So how do I use that gift to build the body? How do I use that gift and that to stir? He says, the gates of hell will not prevail against this church. Why? Because he's building it. That means he's building you and me. And when we walk in that partnership with him, you have the ability to grow and develop and build the church because you walk in the gift that God has called you to. So I encourage you, look at the scriptures, dig in, and that once you find one scripture, it'll cross-reference to another, and you'll see, wow, God, you're speaking so much more about this than I realized. Dave, can you just jump to the last slide for a moment? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you can read it and come ready for next week, we're gonna break it down scripture by scripture, and we're going to walk through this. But 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of us a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. How will anyone know that we are his except for our love one for another? I want to break down how vitally important that is when we start looking at the gifts, because you'll see it right there in 1 Corinthians 12, the emphasis that he's putting on there. And when we get it right, everything flows. Everything moves together for good. It's like a well-oiled machine. It just all starts clicking and moving in the right direction. You were created and formed in your mother's womb for a purpose and for a divine reason. All we have to do is pause, ask, study in the Word, look, start to examine, and he will show you why, what your purpose is. Your purpose is more than just your work. Sometimes your work will be a flavor of who you are. Sometimes your work will just be the paycheck that you bring in and an opportunity for you to reach individuals there. But you're bigger than your work. You're bigger than the people around you. You're unique. And in order to find that uniqueness, we first have to find what it means to be one. And in our oneness, we have safety and freedom to find our diversity. We are so unique and different, but we'll only find the safety and the peace and the rest to move in that individuality of what he's created us once we come at peace and we find it as one. In Christ, we are one. No longer a slave, but a child of God.